deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone and welcome to Flashpoint episode 66, recorded Sunday, October 13th. I'm your host David Holloway and with me are two co-hosts who usually make sure I draw within the lines wherever possible. First up, Christy, how are you?
Hi, I've been good. I've been enjoying the school break and managed to get in a bit of gaming. I've been playing a lot of Star Wars, The Old Republic, and also mixing in some Guild Wars 2 this last week.
Well, we will talk a bit more about that, because I feel sort of guilty. We've neglected Guild Wars 2 for quite a while, so it'd be good to catch up on that. School break, define that for me.
It's just weeks you have when you study that you don't have to study.
Okay, there you go. I want one of them. Simon, how are you, sir?
I'm just thinking that sounds like my entire school life.
Well, there is that.
I am fine. I've been playing The Old Republic, obviously. Also decided to have a little look at the beta of Yogg Ventures, which is a game that's being developed by in association with the Yogg's Cast, which is a sort of Minecraft-esque, but you know me, I'm just a sucker for throwing money at devs who may or may not actually deliver a finished product. Hello, gazillion.
Yeah. Nick, it just dropped out on me. Did you say, what do you call the game?
Yogg Ventures.
Yogg Ventures.
Yes, as in Yogg and Adventures.
And Yogg spelled Y-O-G-G?
Yes. No, 1G.
Okay, so it's not like Yogg Saron from World of Warcraft. That's what I was searching for.
No, it's like Jog, Lewis and Simon.
Okay. Nice. Well, we might even talk about that if we get time then. So as far as usual, we'll cover Star Wars The Old Republic, some Guild Wars 2, as Christy mentioned, and a whole bunch of other little bits and pieces in the TV and movie and book world. Also wanted to mention we had some great feedback on last episode with My Lore Is Stuck in Your Canon, the new segment we've got, and that pretty damn cool droid, ODS-1. So, Simon, you're a genius. And I believe ODS-1 might have a Twitter account.
Yes, he sort of hacked into the Wi-Fi and created one.
So what's, I should have it in front of me, what's his tag on Twitter? I don't think you call it a tag. What's his handle on Twitter?
I believe it's at ODS_1.
Beautiful. Definitely worth it. I highly recommend it if you aren't following. I'm assuming it's a him already. You should.
I haven't checked under the hood. but probably is male, yes.
Okay.
There's probably some things in life that should remain a mystery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well then let's jump straight into some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Republic news. So it's not going to be of a surprise to anyone that the dominant thing in Star Wars The Old Republic over the last fortnight is the announcement of the next expansion, Galactic Starfighter.
Which,
yay! It was a bit of an open secret that there was something spacey on the way. And there certainly is. So BioWare have released a whole, I think it's 1 minute and 4 seconds, although if you take the 18 seconds away from the EA BioWare logos, it's pretty damn short. But there's a bit of Conflict Rising trailer that's worth a look at on the front page of the Star Wars The Old Republic website. So starting out with you, Simon, who I know has been following the space thing, what's your take on the trailer and the timeline for the expansion?
I peed myself a little.
You pitied yourself a little?
Peed.
Oh, peeing. Just a little damn bit. This audio tonight. Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, it's a sizzle reel, so you can't get too excited, but let's face it, we are anyway. It's hard to say exactly what we're going to be getting, as in how many maps, whether it's capture the node or death match or what variations we're going to get, whether it's going to be one map, two maps, one game style, two game style, because they've been quite big on pushing the point that this is the beginning, not the whole schmeal. So I think this is where the community's really been going a little nuts, in a good way, good nuts, in just trying to work out what are we going to get? What's the future hold? What's the potential? I mean, the potential is absolutely freaking enormous, especially with multiplayer, because obviously you start off with the three ships. You got the scout, the fighter, and the gunship, which we get early access to as subscribers. And I did hear, I can't remember who it was now, positing the idea. Actually, I think it might have been Hip off the Utinicast might have put this idea in. Since you're already in a multiplayer arena zone instance anyway, who says that you have to be one person per ship?
Oh.
One of you could be the pilot, one of you could be the gunner, or
yeah,
something
see, I
like
that.
And
surprisingly, when I was reading it, and it said two paint jobs, I kept reading it as two pilots, and I was so, I was like, "What? What? We get two people per ship?" And then I was like, "Oh wait, idiot."
Two pilots would be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, yeah, you're right. Two people. I like the idea of that. That doubles the appeal of the whole thing to me. If there were a gunner and a pilot.
I'd like to see, yeah, I was going to say the Millennium Falcon thing with the little gunner. That'd be awesome.
Well, I'd even be happy if I could be operate one of the turrets on one of the battleships. I mean, I assume there's going to be there'll be capital ships involved in there somewhere, even if it's just a starting point or a hangar that you start off from or you return to for repairs. Assuming there's going to be any kind of repair thing in game. So yeah, I mean the sky's the limit, really. It's just hope we're not setting ourselves up. But as I say, it's a beginning. So where this goes and where the next expansion is, who can say? There has been a little bit of negative spin from a couple of, I'm going to assume it's maybe two people that need a girlfriend, but been whining that it's PvP with this particular expansion. There's no PvE, which I'd just say, shut up, get in your ship and have fun, because pew-pew at actual that other living people is fun. I don't care whether you enjoy ground-based PvP, space-based PvP, two completely different animals, totally.
They are, and I mean, in a world where BioWare had unlimited resources, I think the whinge about no PvE would be legitimate, but I can imagine they're just churning this out to see how well it uptakes, and then they will expand it from there.
Yeah.
My main concern, and I'm sure this has been said 10,000 times, is the lag.
Yeah, that's always going to be a bit of an issue, but I suppose part of one of the good things about the space environment is, it's what is it? It's a 12v12. So, I think graphically there's actually less to render than there is with when you're actually on a planet. So. I don't know if that's going to make any difference to the lag, but hopefully it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah.
But we'll find out. We'll find out. If all else fails, I'm sure we'll find some mitigating strategy for getting achievements or reputation or whatever kind of currency the thing uses to upgrade your bit pieces to work with lag. I'll probably just end up camping on one of the nodes or something.
It'll be the elite PvPers that'll complain the most. If you know, I'm keen to check it out and I suck at PvP, the lag is actually to my benefit because that's my excuse.
Yeah.
So
let's go with that.
Yeah, look, I've certainly used that as an excuse before, or the amount of times I've run dungeons in WoW or flashpoints in SWTOR and said, this is my first run through this, sorry. Even when it's the 10th, but it's all good. So, Christy.
Dirty stink liar.
Yeah. Oh, no. You've got to protect your dignity somehow.
Yeah.
By just forcing all the indignity onto us poor newbies.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for that, David.
I just think of myself as an eternal newbie, the Peter Pan of newbies. So, Christy, I know you tweeted when they announced the expansion. You were pretty excited. So I'm assuming, I think you said this would bring you back as a subscriber. Was that right?
Well, yeah, I'm currently a subscriber, but I wasn't planning on staying a subscriber once this month had ended. And, so they've won me for another 3 months, I would say. That would be my overview of it. But I'm a really big fan of having content where PvE and PvP, you know. So you've had this space PvE stuff for so long. So I just love the fact that it's going to be becoming PvP now. And space dogfights, I mean, who doesn't like space dogfights, really? I haven't played any of it, so we'll have to see what it's actually like. But I have a feeling that come December, I'm going to be spending a lot of time in space.
Mm. And you won't be alone.
I'm hoping it... 'cause I like PvP... But I like to coordinate with people and, have it so you're all working together towards one goal. So I'm hoping that the space battles do allow for that sort of coordination so I can get in there with my guildies and we can be uber awesome because we're helping each other and working as a team instead of just, whacking the other guy until his ship blows up.
Yeah. And from...
Yeah.
From a business viewpoint, I mean, they would have definitely factored this in. You won't be alone, Christy, as far as either about to lapse or lapse subscribers that will resubscribe to check it out. And it's the US and to some extent European peak season, winter. People play more MMOs in winter. And they'll be hoping for a massive spike in subscriber numbers over, December, January, February.
And they're being very kind about it. I mean, if you don't subscribe before November 1st, you don't get the two little special things, the early unlock and one of the paint jobs. But if you subscribe between the November and the January 13th, you do get that. You get classes early access subscriber. So even if you're somebody who can't afford to throw down $15 right now, don't panic. You still can in December. Maybe wait for your Christmas money to come in, or birthday money for people like me, and just have some fun with it. You can still get all the extra little goodies because, I like my goodies. The more shinier, the better.
Absolutely. And I can't remember with Rise of the Hutt Cartel, but there seems to be a longer lag with this as far as when subscribers get early access, when there's subscriber access, and then when there's free-to-play access. There seems a longer lag this time. So they're really making a play for subscribers.
Yeah,
I think it looks like preferred access only gets a couple of weeks between that and free-to-play. The subscribers get about 6 weeks, so...
Yeah. Simon?
Yeah, no, I was just agreeing. It is definitely longer. I mean, the free-to-players that I think can start playing towards it, like is it the 4th or 14th of February?
February 4th for free, and preferred is January 14th. Yeah, so the Christmas break, you're going to have to be a subscriber, I'm afraid.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's worth it for they're making it worthwhile, especially considering you're not actually having to pay for it. And if you're resubbing, well, and you have a Hutt Cartel, you get Hutt Cartel too for nothing. So,
that's a good point.
It's looking more and more attractive to be a sub. So, and it's just exciting just where this is going to go. I'm wondering how the progression is going to work as well, because there is progression, and you get the on the ground benefits as well through progressing through the Galactic Starfighter. So I'm just not wondering how you progress and how you get to how the gear, adding gear and adding extra bits and pieces to your ship works, because it's going to be more complicated than just upgrading your putting, you know, a purple piece of armor into the armor slot on your ship and so on. It's obviously going to be more involved than that, but I'm wondering if it's going to be so complicated you need a spreadsheet.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope
not. Turn into Eve Online.
Yeah, we no one needs that. We don't need that. I mean, Eve's having trouble at the moment, so yeah. Well, at least CCP is. So
yeah. Well, yes. I mean, I've every time I see the promos for Eve, I'm dying to try it out. But I remember the once I did that. Yeah, the learning curves on it's not insignificant.
I just ended up hiding near my home base. space station, because I was afraid I was going to get jumped on by pirates.
Yeah,
I'm way too cautious player to stick my neck out in Eve. It's a different person, different personality type.
But I love the idea. I stuck myself out in wormhole space, so yeah.
Yeah, so no, very exciting times. And obviously, besides the announcement of that, it's been the last 2 weeks have seen, you know, a decent period of the new content around the Dreadmasters. So I know, because I was lucky enough week before last to have holidays, so I spent a decent amount of hours and completed the story of that. And then I've actually done, I think, 3-4 days of the dailies. So I've actually found it engaging enough to come back and do that, which is unusual for me.
That you're doing dailies, I find that remarkable.
Yeah, I have had periods of doing it, particularly, and our ever faithful listener Gail will know that I'm an achievement junkie. If I know there's achievements on the line, there isn't even really with Star Wars, besides getting the reputation grind with the Oricon Task Force. What are they called? Anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, I quite enjoy the storyline. So Simon, starting with you this time. Have you played any of that content?
None of the new one, I'm afraid. I'm still powering on, trying to get my little character up to there. But the end is 9.
Oh, that's right. Because so you're level 40 milestone. That's on your main.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm 41 now. You know, not to brag, but I was hoping to make it to 55. By the time we were on the podcast here, so I actually can talk about it. But yeah, Guild Wars 2 and life kind of keeps interrupting it. It's awful, isn't it?
It is.
But I mean, I've been listening to my guildies running it, and besides that bug they had where you couldn't take down one of the bosses, they seem to be enjoying the new content.
Yeah, and I mean, as per usual, I haven't actually done the operation. It's a Dread Palace? I can't remember now. I've done everything but that, just because I tend to log in for an hour and I'm not a member of a guild, which doesn't help. And I'm going to join the Atini guild. I just need to get off my ass and actually do it if they'll have me. And I wouldn't blame them if they didn't.
Yeah, I've been wondering the same thing, especially for the, because Atini fleet or Atini Star Force sounds about right for a fleet of completely chaotic fighters smashing into the side of an asteroid.
That's right.
Yeah.
My guild is wonderfully sweet and kind and nice and organised.
So
I'm totally lying by that.
Yeah, I was going to say, geez, where'd you find that? Simon, have you played any of the Dread content?
No, although I have been reading a lot of backstory, so no, I haven't. Yeah, I haven't done Fortress, haven't done the palace either, but I'm actually finding it kind of compelling. While the Dreadmasters kept sort of drifting in and drifting out, I was sort of, I'm not finding it compelling. But now that the story arc's actually reached a conclusion, I'm actually finding that quite an enticement to get my little Cathar to end game.
By that time, there'll be 3 more expansions.
Well, yeah. By that time, you'll probably be a piece of a slice of asteroid pizza.
Oh, thank you. You've given me the title for this podcast yet again.
Thumbs up for the... I mean, and on the face of it, when you look at the Dread content, there's a lot you could potentially dislike as far as it's a relative... It's not that small a map, but it's all encapsulated with one broad area with not a lot of variety in the scenery, although I do like the scenery with all the, you know, downed ships and the fire, and I really like it. And the fact that you need to battle your way through a whole bunch of shit to get to any of the dailies areas, but they throw in a nice auto quest that as soon as you leave the camp there, you pick up the quest to kill 50 dread things and, you know, pick up another bit of experience just for killing what you need to get to the dailies. It just all works well, I find.
Is that like an area quest?
Yeah, well, the dailies is a range of them, and most of them are repeating bits you do in the initial story run anyway, but it's a bit of a circular map, and you have to get past a whole bunch of relatively powerful stuff to get anywhere, and it just, I don't know, it works. It's not annoying me, and that's good.
So you don't have to fight your way through a bunch of trash mobs then?
Yeah, you do. So unless at the moment Oricon's so busy that a lot of the time you can head out and someone's already trashed them before you get there. But No, you do need to fight through them, but there is an auto quest that you pick up equal experience to some of the dailies anyway by killing 50 of them, which you basically do by the time you get from one end of the map to the other. You're not actually having to do it. So it's sort of, I like that rather than, you know, constantly, if you know, at top level, getting through them, getting some legacy experience for sure, and going, Jesus, I have to battle through this every day. So they've ameliorated that quite nicely.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
At least, yeah, if I'm interested in doing dailies, they're doing something right. The only thing I'd slag them about is the lore objects. There are, I think it's four lore objects you can collect for one of the achievements, and one of them is sitting up on a disabled battle droid sort of thing, and it's a ridiculous process if you need to jump off a particular log onto one of the legs, and with the lag and the timing with using a keyboard and spending 20 minutes getting it right, you go, this is just pointless shit. I don't mind having to climb or find things, but when it comes down to, you know, millisecond coordination of in an MMO, it's always ridiculous.
Does it involve a balloon ride?
No.
Well, it's not that bad then.
Now, I'm trying to remember the balloon ride. What's the...
Tatooine.
Oh, yeah.
That's a long... You need someone to give you a force push. It's a lot faster.
Yeah. So, yeah, thumbs up for the Dread content. So it's time probably now to get a bit more educated, because you don't want to end up as Star Wars ignorant as I am. So it's time for the second installment of the much lauded My Lore Is Stuck in Your Canon.
Oh, thank you, Master David. May I say it is a pleasure for you to have me here again. Now, as most of you have probably been busy beating your sticky foreheads against the spacebar for much of the game, I thought I would tell you about the Rakata and the Infinite Empire. In the far mists of the early hyperspace age, before the Jedi, before the Sith, there was the Infinite Empire. Ruled by the Rakata, a race of Force-sensitive reptilians, the Infinite Empire stretched forth across the cosmos, their great strength stemming from potent technologies powered by the Force itself. Originally from the planet Lahon, the primitive Rakata were encountered by the Kwa, an ancient and advanced species who travel between worlds instantaneously through a network of portals named the Infinity Gates. The Kwa immediately recognized the Rakata were strong force sensitives, and as they had with many other species, the Kwa lifted the Rakata out of ignorance and attempted to teach them balance in the Force, while introducing them to advanced technology. But soon it became clear the Rakata's nature drew on the dark side alone. Uniting their unbridled aggression with the Kwa's advanced technology, the Rakata quickly spread from Lehon to other worlds in the unknown regions. The building of their empire had begun. Targeting worlds rich with force, they enslaved their populations and used these force-sensitive slaves to power their ships and technology by placing them in devices that induced fear and hatred, then harvesting the resulting dark side energy. As the Infinite Empire grew, the Kwa lost their influence. Their decline was massively accelerated when the Rakata attempted to seize the secret technology of the Infinity Gate for themselves. A war was fought on Lahon as the Kwa sought to destroy the Infinity Gate located there. Afterwards, they engaged in a program to destroy or at least disable gates on other worlds while they retreated against the Rakatan onslaught, finally falling back to their homeworld of Dathomir. With the Kwa out of the way, the Rakata continued to develop their mastery of force power technology. The apex of this must surely be the Starforge, built in the Lahon system itself. Powered by the dark side, it produced limitless supplies of warships and other technology for the Empire. They also customized entire planets for their uses using advanced terraforming machines such as the one found on Kashyyyk. Around 30,000 BBY, the Infinite Empire had reached the peak of its power, with over 500 force-rich worlds in its grasp. When they finally found the Kwa homeworld of Dathomir, they ruthlessly crushed the population as retribution for destroying so many of the Infinity Gates. They also converted the planet of Belsavis into a world prison, specifically to contain a creature named the World Razor, whose hunger was said to have consumed 1,000 worlds. However, it's unclear whether this is hyperbole, exaggeration, or perhaps even fact. Whatever the case, it took the power of the entire Empire to subdue and imprison it. The Infinite Empire also successfully drove the Gree, an ancient space-going culture of tentacle monsters contemporary with Celestials, out of the known galaxy and back to their home cluster, a seclusion that has only recently ended. It is estimated that around 28,000 BBY, the Rakata discovered the planet Korriban and the Sith species. They shared holocron technology with the then Sith leader King Adas. However, Adas quickly realized that the Rakata intended conquest and successfully led his people in driving the Infinite Empire off Korriban. But that was only a temporary respite. The Empire also conquered what we now call the Core Worlds. However, the Age of Conquest and Expansion was not to last. A species known as the Eshkar overran a number of Rakatan slave worlds. The Empire fought back with unparalleled viciousness to the point of wiping the entire species out. Ultimately, a small fraction of the population were spared, and, with their leader, Hallow Voice, were placed in stasis vaults on Belsavis. The attacks of the Eshkar were only the beginning, though. Over the next 2,000 years, the Empire began to fracture as the corrupting influence of the Starforge magnified factional tensions to exploding point. During the instability, massive slave revolts occurred across worlds on the Empire's periphery. Eventually, a civil war broke out across the Empire, and battling warlords unleashed weapons of terrible destruction across the galaxy. However, the most devastating blow was to come from the tiniest of enemies. A deadly plague swept the Rakatan population and nearly wiped the entire species out. For the survivors, worse was to come as they discovered their connection to the Force, and thereby their ability to operate their Force-based technology, was lost. With no alternative, the Rakata were driven to use inferior technology, and with their masters weakened, most slave worlds rebelled. With no effective way to fight back, the Rakata had no option but to abandon their empire and retreat to their homeworld of Lehon. Once back on Lehon, the survivors broke into factions and battled for dominance over what was left to them. A devastating civil war reduced their cities to dust and their world surface to a series of island chains. The few survivors sought refuge underground and evolved into primitive tribal groups. Meanwhile, in the greater galaxy, the former slave races stripped all mention of the Infinite Empire from their histories. It was only during the Jedi Civil War that mention of the Infinite Empire and its technological legacy were rediscovered.
Thank you, ODS1. And I can honestly say, although this won't surprise many people, I knew nothing about the Infinite Empire, so I'm much more illuminated now.
I was just going to say, it was going to... I had told him to do a piece on the hyperdrive and the different starship manufacturers, and just sort of sync up with the whole Galactic Starfighter thing. But Droid says no. we've got the Infinite Empire instead.
Well, that sounds like you'd have to do a shitload of research, and who's got time for that?
Well, he does live in the Rakata archives, so you know.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
So let's move on to non-Star Wars The Old Republic stuff, and predominantly we'll talk about Guild Wars 2. I think it's well known all of us bought Guild Wars 2. I had an initial honeymoon period of a couple of weeks with it, and then just, I don't know what put me off. It's hard to put my finger on it. Simon, you weren't a huge fan from the get-go, were you?
I did like it. I liked the art style.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
I thought it looked beautiful. I liked the way things just sort of happened around you, rather than it being a level grind. But then, yeah, I sort of went cold on it, and I think if I could put my finger on it, and it's a fairly wibbly wobbly thing to put your finger on, but I would say that level grind is actually, and progression is actually kind of important in an MMO, and I think they tried to give us a game without that, without grind, but somehow something else got lost. Important.
Yeah.
I have a theory on that.
Well, let's throw to you, Christy, as the one that's actually played it in recent history.
My thing when it comes to game design is you can go one of two ways. You can do personal story, like Star Wars, or you can go for world story, which is something that MMOs tend to think they do, but they really, really don't. And Guild Wars 2 has created this game where they've created the world based around world story, but they've created the characters around story, you know, mode. And I think that's where it went wrong. Like, thinking about it, I believe step for step, Guild Wars, the original Guild Wars world, which is exactly the same, or, you know, because Guild Wars 2 is in the future, same location but in the future, Guild Wars seemed to be a lot bigger. Like, to go from one side of the area to the other took ages. And it also had this thing, which a lot of, I reckon, modern MMOs are losing, is the blank spaces. Like for a board game, you have blank spaces where there's nothing happens. You fall on that step, nothing happens, because you can't have things happening for every single square. Otherwise, the game just is really jumbled and complicated. And I think that's where Guild Wars 2 has its failing, like, because everything is just on top of each other. You know, you take one step and you've moved to the next bit.
Oh, gotcha.
And I reckon if they made the world a lot larger, just like grabbed it by the ends and just pulled it out, so you had these empty spaces where you could do whatever you want there, instead of forcing you into this complicated spaces, you know, because you land somewhere, there's always something, there's always either a heart or some event going on or a vista you've got to get, there's always something, and you don't have that gap, that break, that running around and just enjoying the endless world. But one of the things that I found, because I was the same, I enjoyed the game, and then suddenly, boom, like I just didn't. I didn't log in one day, and that was it. I didn't log in again. And I think it's because you've got to have that mindset. The moment you want to do something, you're out of that mindset. You've just got to sort of log in, pick a place you want to go, and don't have any goals, any aims. Just go with the flow, go wherever you want to go. And the game is fun. But the moment you want to progress, you want to harvest, you want to farm, you want to get money, anything like that, that's when the game fails and you end up going, well, this is crap, I don't want to do this, you know. So, I mean, I know people talk about theme park and theme park games, you know, which is like your Star Wars and your WoW and stuff, where it's all very linear progression, and sandbox games. But Guild Wars 2 isn't... It's like a theme park game trying to be a sandbox game, but failing and being a theme park game, but trying to present itself as a sandbox game within a theme park game, and it's just this big, confusing mess. So, yeah, at the moment, I mean, I've only started playing it again for about a week, and I just sort of log in for a few hours, run around. Any of the events, I'd just do them. But because they don't feel like a chore yet, and I know that eventually they will feel like a chore, and then the moment they feel like a chore, that's it. You've lost the game. But it kind of has the same problem that Final Fantasy XIV had for me, where especially, what's it called, Queensdale, the human newbie area, because of the downscaling, but you still get XP thing, you can get from 1 to 80 without ever leaving that place. And that's exactly what people are doing. They're doing these Zerg runs where they run from champion to champion to champion to champion to champion and then back to the beginning again. And they're leveling so quick by it. But it's like, that's not playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what the hell's the point?
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I've done it. I've spent about an hour or so even this afternoon just doing the Zerg because it's fun. You get some items and you get that whole group party atmosphere going on, which is always a great thing in an MMO. That's why we play MMOs, so we can feel like one piece in a ginormous jigsaw puzzle. But I just couldn't imagine logging in and doing that from 1 to 80. But I know, yeah, there's people doing it, and it's actually a really quite fast way to level. Like, considering it's not exactly that it's the best XP, it's just because it's so quick. You know, you go waypoint champion, waypoint champion, waypoint champion, waypoint champion, and because you're killing a champion, you're getting lots of XP for it. So, you know, if you had to run from champion to champion to champion, obviously that would be pretty crap and nobody would do it. But because the champions happen to be so close to waypoints, and these Zerg people, they have it down to a fine art where you're appearing at the champion just as the champion spawns. So, you know, then you kind of think, well, what's the point of doing anything else? But, yeah, if you're looking to get back into Guild Wars, it's nothing changed. You're pretty much probably going to fail for whatever reason that you failed before to enjoy the game. But they have added features in it, which I think are really, really good ideas that I wish more MMOs would implement, but they've obviously stolen from other MMOs. Things like there's AoE loot now. Yay! I hope all games finally get that.
Yeah,
and they've also tied a lot of things now to your account. So you have an account wallet now, which is really, really good because to move server, because my guild played on another server, so I'm like, I can pay, what is it, $30 to transfer myself from one server to the other. Or I can delete all my characters and start again. And I thought, well, I haven't played Guild Wars 2 for about a year, so obviously I'm not going to miss anything. I deleted all my characters. But because everything had moved to account, things like my gold, all my achievements, my progression and all that had been saved, even though I deleted the characters that had them. So that was really nice. Thank you for that, ArenaNet. So now I've got heaps of money. Still trying to level up my character. Still trying to drive what I want to level up. But the achievement point system now has a reward system as well, kind of similar to the Star Wars Legacy, but not really. So when you gain achievement points at certain milestones, which I think is every 500, you get a special chest, and that chest gives you special rewards. One of the things is that you can actually increase XP gain, money gain, karma gain, and your luck, which is, you know, chances of having better stuff drop, which it affects all your characters. Doesn't matter what server or anything they're on. Well, they're all on the same server anyway, because that's the way the game works. But, I thought it was a nice idea, especially since I remember when I stopped playing previously, a lot of level 80s were just putting magic find into their armor because, you know, they always wanted the cool stuff and that was the only way to improve your charts. But now you can make your account just more lucky.
Okay. So it sounds like there's still plenty going on.
Yeah, they're still got their events going and things like that. They say they're adding content all the time, but it's not really content. They're just adding events.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they class it as content. So, it's fun and enjoyable just as long as you're in that right mindset. The moment you sort of move out of that mindset, you've got to log off, otherwise you're going to hate the game again.
Yeah. I mean, you put the finger on it for me, and I hadn't thought of it this way. It's about the fact that everywhere you go, there's always something happening, and I think that was one of the big reasons I was turned off.
Especially when you don't have to be involved. Like, there's no reason for you to be involved. There's no quest there that you have to do. There's no story mission that you have to do. There's no reason for you to do it. You get the choice to do it, which sounds wonderful and freeing, but if you choose not to do it and just keep walking, and you hit the next set and you choose not to do that, then suddenly you're like, you're choosing not to play the game, so why are you? And then you log off and boop.
Yeah. I mean, I could admit, I'm more likely to play Guild Wars 2 than Marvel Heroes. Would you be in the same boat, Simon?
I think I'd go out and buy a pack of cards and play Solitaire before I play Marvel Heroes.
I do have Cards Against Humanity, so I would choose that over Guild Wars 2.
Or play Mine. What was that old Windows game, Minesweeper?
Minesweeper. Yeah. Oh, the hours. I was I was the queen of Minesweeper.
There you go.
Not to brag.
Good old Marvel heroes, we love you. Not. All right.
I'm prepared to give them another go in another 3 or 4 months after, you know, after I get the whole Galactic Starfighter thing out of my system.
I think we'll have to give it another go because I think I need to play about another 4 years worth of Marvel Heroes to feel like I've got my money's worth out of it. But we won't revisit that old chestnut.
No.
It just makes me sad every time.
I wonder if their service ever came back up after maintenance last week. I never bothered to find out.
We're such cynics.
Just a tad.
All right. So thanks, Christy. You've made me sort of want to go back in and play Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, oh, goodness. No, do not listen to my calm.
It is worth it for the art. I agree with you on the graphics. It's by far and away the best graphic-wise MMO I've played.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And, like, because I was running with the Zerg, you were seeing all these people and all these different armors and all these different styles. And because of the dye jobs, they were all so completely different. And you just, yeah, you got to fall in love. That's what I end up doing. I end up armor shopping. Ah, it's such a girl thing to do, I know. But I want this armor. No, I want this armor. Actually, I'll get that armor.
Yeah, that's very
important. An outfit is very important.
It is.
Wow.
All right, so that's, and I've got nothing to add in with other games. Because I got a new computer while I was on holidays and I've configured it all up and it's all running nicely now, but I haven't actually played any The Secret World. And I think we talked about last episode about what's on the horizon with issue 8 and so on, but I plan on getting some time in the next fortnight. So we'll move on to non-MMO but related stuff. The first one, and I promise I'll keep it short and it won't be a weekly event. There's nothing worse than the podcasts that flog their own wares week after week after week. But we do have T-shirts for sale using a lovely logo designed by Simon, and it was on T-shirts that we all wore to PAX. Well, sorry, I wore to PAX because Simon and Christie's didn't arrive in the mail like they should have. Have you worn them since, guys? Have you actually been that desperate?
I haven't got mine yet. What happened?
Oh, that's that's not my my fault.
That would be my fault because I was one that posted it. Anyway, let's talk about that offline.
Yeah, it's all right. Anyway, so the difference between the ones Simon, Christy, and I eventually will wear. And these ones is that the ones we've got have the OceanicGamer.com logo on them, don't they? Maybe they didn't. I think when I got mine out, I was surprised it wasn't. No, it doesn't. So this just has the logo that Simon designed, which I love to bits. It's a brilliant blood splotch with the little Space Invader icon on it. It looks really, really cool. And I can vouch for the fact that the T-shirt I got, it looks great on the T-shirt. So we've got them available. And that's just to try and help us keep the site running, to the cost for the site. So unless you're a 2XL or 3XL sort of person, the T-shirt, a basic T-shirt and a whole bunch of colours will cost you $26.94. Now, if you're wondering why, it's the people we're doing it through, redbubble.com, which are an Aussie outfit, and we've used them before and they're really good. Is that they just get you to add a percentage on top of the base price. And without a calculator, I couldn't work out how to make it a even number. So for each of those, we make about $4 per shirt, which helps keep the site running. So if you're up for a T-shirt and you like the look of it, if you're a 2XL or 3XL person, $30 or so. They're also kids' T-shirts, which are around they're cheaper than the 26.
Can you get one in an Ewok size?
Well, if you buy the two-year-old kids one, you'd be pretty close. I would have thought, oh, no, you'd need bigger than that.
Treek might like one.
Yeah. The amount of Treeks I've seen, because I've been playing a bit more, is just insane. I actually don't want one now because they're just so yesterday.
Are you elitist snob?
Yeah. I do like the look of them, though, I must admit. But I still do have Lumpy on my loading screen for Star Wars. It transferred with my update of computer, so I was pleased by that. So that's the T-shirts.
Thank you so much.
Every time I see it, it makes me smile. You can't ask for anything more than that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Simon.
Oh, yeah. If anyone's been watching that, and I assume that quite a few people must be, the network has approved a full season. So normally what they do with, and you can't imagine them not being pretty much certain about this, as you can be certain about anything these days. They just produced the first approved 13 to be done after the initial pilot. And then if everything looks like it's going to be going well, they'll approve it for what's called the back nine, which is to take it up to a full season. So, yeah, looks like it's all guns blazing. So this might be one of the first TV series that Josh Whedon, after Buffy, might be one of the first shows he's had that doesn't get prematurely cancelled.
Hmm.
But then it's Fox, so I suppose that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, Angel got up to, what, 4 or 5 seasons?
Yeah, but that show we all wanted to finish.
Which one was that?
As much as I love you, Joss Whedon, at the end of season one was when you should have stopped, Angel.
Yeah, because you can't finish every damn season with a bloody apocalypse. It starts getting a little old.
Might as well be Doctor Who if you're going to do that.
Oh, talking about
how many times has he wiped out the Daleks and the Cybermen only to have them come back 3 episodes later? As much as it's I love you, David, soft. But
I assume you heard the exciting news this week that they found, was it 5 or 6 old Patrick Troughton episodes in a relay room in Nigeria, I think it was. So there was a BBC relay room in Nigeria and they had archivists over there for some reason and they found these dusty old, whatever format they were, and they were good quality after restoration. 5 or 6 episodes of Patrick Trout, ones that had thought lost.
Yeah, amazing, it's a nice reminder for people to have off-site storage because fires do happen and you lose things.
Yeah, Nigeria.
It could be, you know, the early episodes of Doctor Who. It could be your music collection, but people, off-site storage.
And you could ask, did Doctor
Who himself... Nigeria seems the best place to put it.
And did Doctor Who himself put them there, you could ask.
Oh, no. Oh, would that be stepping into his own timeline, though?
Yeah, I don't know. So there you go.
Well, anyway, the BBC didn't lose them. They recycled the stock, which isn't the same thing at all. They deliberately destroyed them.
It's like the goodies. They did that to a lot of the goodies episodes as well, and a bunch of other things, I'm sure. I'm going to do a very brief book review in that, for those unaware, you can hear a chopper going overhead. Stephen King has released in the past couple of weeks a sequel to his very well-known novel, The Shining, called Dr. Sleep. And I'm well over halfway through it. I just downloaded it as an ebook last week, and by God, it's as good as the original. That's all I'll say. But if you like The Shining, the only thing I'd strongly recommend is to do what I do and read The Shining again if it's been more than a couple of years since you read it, because there are a lot of references to The Shining that you will appreciate a lot more if you've read it recently. It won't wreck the story for you if you haven't, but I'd strongly recommend it. And it is a bloody great book. Either you guys read The Shining?
No.
I don't think I've actually read it. I've seen it, but I don't think I've actually read it.
See, I'm the opposite. I haven't actually seen the full movie, and I know that it departs significantly from the book, but it's still obviously a legendary movie. But, all right. Well, buggies then. But just
maybe you put King on and it's awesome. So.
Yeah, look, the guy's a legend, and this book could have potentially been very lame, but it's a sequel only because the little boy in the first one is now grown up and gets involved in a whole bunch of other stuff, and it's just extremely well done. So buy it. The other thing, going back to a bit of Star Wars stuff, is Episode 7 rumours. So I read the other day, and I'll try and find the link again. But apparently, and this was about 5 days ago, and it was happening, they said that day or the next day, and it obviously hasn't, but apparently there's a casting announcement imminent for Episode 7. And then that linked to an older story that probably a lot of people listening will know, that Mark Hamill's been seen regularly in the gym working out like a maniac to beef up for his appearance. And apparently there's talk that the casting announcement or some other thing will happen in the form of a trailer with Mark Hamill sort of hosting it. So we'll see whether any of that comes to pass.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
I wonder if Carrie Fisher is also considering a little gym time.
Well, I'd say they'd all be stressing. It depends. So we don't know what role they're going to have. But, yeah, I mean, Harrison Ford would have to be putting in the serious hours as well.
In all honesty, considering that he was still doing a lot of his own stunt work in the Indiana Jones movie that shall not be named, I think he's always stayed in fairly good shape.
Yeah, but isn't he like 70 now?
71, yep.
Yeah, well, still.
But, yeah, he's definitely looking good for his age.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's Episode 7 rumours, and because it's 2015 release, isn't it? Or am I getting over-hopeful there?
I can't remember now. I'm trying not to think about it too much just in case I start getting excited and then get horribly, horribly episode
disappointed.
One.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess not if they haven't even done the casting yet.
No, maybe 2016 anyway.
Well, they are.
Unless it's like casting. Christmas release. Actually, they'll probably do a Boxing Day release, sorry.
Yeah. They've been doing casting calls in London, I know that much. So casting's already well underway. Just as a side note as well, there's rumours that Disneyland's Star Wars plans may include a speeder bike ride and a walk through Millennium Falcon.
Nice.
Now, oh, that would be cool.
The speeder bike ride, book me a ticket in cargo. I'm a going.
See, so whereas I'd probably just vomit, whereas the walk through Millennium Falcon I'd pay for a ticket for.
Oh yeah, well I'm sure they've got special provision for your Zimmer frame, Granddad.
Yeah, but no, just to sit in the gunner turret and imagine how good that'd be.
I think we should plan some sort of company trip, you know, and do a podcast
for the proceeds of all the t-shirt sales. Well, at $4 a t-shirt, that works out. We only need to sell about 3,000 of them, and we should
be
right.
If you buy a t-shirt, we may or may not promise that we will do a podcast while speed racing.
I tell you what, if we sell 3,000 t-shirts, I promise we will go to the US, or at least I will. And I'll just say you are from Skype. No one will know, be any the wiser.
No.
We would know, though.
Yeah, true.
We would know.
Well, okay, this is probably local topical humour, but you could always become an MP and then just claim it as a business expense.
Oh, there's an idea.
We're actually out talking business, so to claim as a business expense, it has to have nothing to do with gaming, Star Wars, or the podcast.
Yeah, true. We'd have to start a warehouse management podcast or something.
Yeah, that would make much sense.
Any other bitsy pieces from you guys?
No, other than urging people to have a look at that Kotaku article about the fall of LucasArts, because that is the as in the studio, not the licensing Godzilla. But it's really worth a read and just helps put things into perspective and how EA may not be quite as evil as they're popularly believed to be.
Yeah, and I'll put a link to it again this week, so that's good. And I want to do a quick shout-out. We had another lovely person do a review on iTunes. So thank you to, and I don't know how to pronounce this, it's either SB Rasma or SBR Asthma. But thank you, sir or madam. On the 25th of September, left a lovely comment saying how much they enjoyed the podcast. So thank you.
Oh, and ODS1 has also told me to thank or do a shout out to Tio from the Otini cast for saying something nice to him on Twitter. He doesn't tend to get a lot of positive feedback, I have to admit.
Oh, he's a robot. He doesn't have emotions.
No, but he does have a pathological hatred that it's, if you say nice things to him, he does tend to sort of settle down. Otherwise, you have to start throwing tins of food at him. Actually, tins of food is just the, it tends to be the heaviest thing I've got laying around the place.
Oh, and Mr. Teo from the Teeny Cast has kindly offered to come on the show again. I just can get off my butt and organise that ink for this time, but we may, assuming he's available and happy to, have him on next episode. So, well, I think that's the show. So, as always, if you'd like to offer an opinion, suggestion, or general abuse, feel free to contact us at contact@oceanicgamer.com or visit the Facebook page, The Oceanic Gamer, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. Now, Twitter, my handle is The Oceanic Gamer. You can stay in touch with Christy, but you got to be, you got to keep up with her because she bloody changes the Twitter handle every 2 weeks.
I do it just for you, David. Oh, just for you.
Thinking of all those broken links on the site. Evil Flaming Cat with a C, not a K. So Evil Flaming Cat. And Simon consistently tweets under RPG Beats RL.
And yes.
Yeah. And in order, I would follow Simon and Christy and me if you have to, because they tend to tweet more and have more news. You guys do good.
Oh, thank you.
And Christy also has a Twitch TV channel, which is the same handle, so twitch.tv/evilflamingcat. Although I noticed, Chris, you have a YouTube channel that's still Evil Krispy Kreme, and that'd be because you can't change it on YouTube.
No, you can't change it. With the Twitch, you can't change either, but because Twitch is live, I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just create a new account. So, Evil Krispy Kreme at Twitch is still, there's all my old videos on there, but from now on I'll be broadcasting on Evil Flaming Cat. But yes, YouTube, you can change your name, so display name is Evil Flaming Cat, but the link is still Evil Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. I'm really scared with YouTube because I've had my first official copyright infringement and you only get 2 strikes and the second strike they delete your account. And I've uploaded probably 2 dozen clips from concerts I've attended, and I've got stuff that I keep private as far as just family stuff and whatever, and I'm dreading the account being deleted for the time it'd take to re-upload it all. So I posted a... What was it? Oh, it was a... And people will groan if you're under 40, but... Summertime Blues, which was a song from the originally from the 60s but appeared in the movie La Bamba. There was no full version of that on YouTube, and I needed it for something, and I uploaded it, and I got a big smack on the wrist. And for those that are unaware, if you get caught, it's not just a matter of saying, yes, sorry, they actually make you do a online course. It only takes about 15 minutes. You have to read all this information and do an exam before they let you continue to use your account.
Wow.
How?
About copyright, geez. And what's appropriate and what's not.
And what the hell's Summertime Blues?
I agree.
If you're not careful, I'll link to it. It's just a classic old 60s song. If you ever saw the La Bamba movie, Joe Strummer did the version for it, and I've just played it in bands over the years.
Joe Strummer.
Stray Cats. Heard of the band called the Stray Cats? Come on, Simon, you're old enough to not have an excuse. Christy, fair enough.
Yay, I'm the young one.
Anyway, I'm now definitely okay, let's to it.
Let's assume I've got a clue.
You've heard of the movie La Bamba.
I've heard of the movie La Bamba.
Oh, that's a start. That's good. All right.
So, have you heard of movies?
Yes, I have.
I'm trying to think. I watched something. Oh, the Crossfire Hurricane, the documentary on the Rolling Stones, just to prove that I am totally old. That was released last year to coincide with their 50th anniversary. If you like rock history, it's a great doco. You heard of the Rolling Stones, both of you, surely.
Yeah. I think they didn't they have the song at the end of the last Die Hard film?
Yeah. I know that was Pseudo Echo. We're going to go now. I'd like to thank Christy and Simon.
Yeah, you should.
Sure. I saw Pseudo Echo in 2000.
No, stop.
Oh, they're one of my favourite bands. I'll link to them too. So thank you, Simon, as always, and particularly for the work you're doing, you and Odious One do on the law segment. It's much appreciated.
I have no control over the robot. I deny all knowledge.
And Christy, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
And have a great week. And remember, if your pug wipes, it was probably because one of us was in it. Bye.
True. Bye.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.